I think a passage like this, though familiar to most of us, deserves, and I would say require, a lot of revisit and rereading, and I would say some fine pre-reading on our part. So I would like to make this assignment that when you meet this this week or next week on this lesson 64 that we're going to cover in this first session, you would take some time to pray read these four verses together. Of course, this is embedded in this story of the two sons of Zebedee, actually not themselves, but their their mothers, who went to the Lord to try to sort of twist the Lord's arms or something, to appoint them one to the right, one to the left, and so on. So that was the context, and the Lord's word was here because of that kind of ambition. And so let's pray read this. I don't mean now. When you gather together, please pray read them. And I also would like to charge you to pray read this on your own. Find some time on your own to be with the Lord and pray to the Lord with these few verses. Really pray read. Some of you know I'm very, very burdened concerning how we should handle the word. I feel the way we're handling the word of God nowadays in the church life is not up to par, not up to the standard. And surely in some ways it has gone down from the way we used to handle the word before, especially in this practice of so-called prayer reading. You know, it's a term coined by us, by Brother Lee, but I think now it has become just a common practice, nothing wrong with that. But the way it is done, I feel actually many saints have missed it and are still missing it, and sorry to say, even some of you are missing the essence of prayer reading. And so as a result, the word does not benefit or profit us as it should if we would know how to handle or how to pray with the word in an adequate way. Now, in a big setting like this, it is hard. It is hard to pray read. Although once upon a time in Los Angeles, we had 300-400 pray reading, and we achieved something that I have not seen since. The level of prayer reading. I'm talking about the level of prayer reading, which is not just someone repeating some word and everyone in unison saying amen and then move on. It's not like this. It is transforming or turning the word of the Lord into prayer, into prayerful utterances, filled with your own expression. Now, when I say your expression, I don't mean you leave the word. I don't mean you just, you know, use your eloquence. But I do mean a certain exercise that is not just a simple recitation of the Bible. That's easy. You almost can do it, sorry to say, in a mindless way. But I'm talking about a level of digestion where you are forced or you exercise to use your spirit and your renewed mind to lay hold of this word in the way of masticating, in the way of chewing, in the way of musing. And then use your words as the Spirit gives you utterance. All right? And the Spirit does anoint us. You pray to the Lord with that word. It is not this straight prayer reading, just da-da-da, amen. It is turning this into your prayer in the form of petition, in the form of supplication, in the form of thanksgiving, in the way of praise, whatever it may be. And that kind of prayer reading will often result in much light that you would not have just by recitation, just by amen, 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 like this. It brings much light, and also with that light comes a lot of what? Touching of the Lord, lots of dealing, lots of correction. You remember, all Scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for what? There it does not even say nourishing or feeding. The emphasis there, in order to equip a man of God, is what? Is in conviction and correction and teaching. That implies an amount of examination, a kind of dealing, a kind of exposing, a kind of calibrating, even a kind of discipline. And true prayer reading of the Lord's Word will bring forth these things. But I have not seen this for some time. Even leading brothers do not pray read in this way. And how do you expect the saints to pray read in this way? So this coming conference the upcoming Working Saints, I have four outlines on how to handle the Word of God. Simple as it may sound, it's an art that we have lost. Maybe not completely, but a lot. And I attribute the level of the church, the life and the truth, the constitution, a lot to this, actually. And that is in the less than ideal reception and assimilation of the Scriptures as the Word of God. I better not go there because I'm filled with burden, and if you want, you come to that conference. And I have a lot to say even beyond that. I feel for what the Lord is doing to renew us, to revive us, this is a central matter. You may not think so, but I will tell you, this will be a central matter. If the saints in the churches under our leadership would really return or ascend to, climb up to, this kind of enjoyment, if you will, of the Scriptures, of the God-breathed Scriptures, I tell you, that will be a revival in itself. We've seen with our own eyes once upon a time. We should believe it can happen again. All right, but please pray read this. And then there's another four verses that you also must pray read. You say, oh, this is taking too much of my time. Brothers, what else are we doing here? What's your time for? That's wrong. We have time. We just wasted them. Okay, and that would be 1 Peter chapter 5. Let's read that at least this morning. Then I will go on with my lesson. Chapter 5, 1 Peter verses 1 through 4. This is maybe the top four verses on the matter of being an elder, of the eldership. All right? So this is Peter's words. Let's read. Therefore, the elders among you I exhort, who am a fellow elder and witness of the sufferings of Christ, who am also a partaker of the glory to be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God among you, overseeing not under compulsion, but willingly according to God, not by seeking gain through base means, but eagerly, nor as lording it over your allotments, but by becoming patterns of the flock. And when the chief shepherd is manifested, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. Of course, this morning, in this lesson, the focus would be on verse 3, which says, the elders should shepherd God's flock in a willing way and not as being compelled, eagerly, and not as just with some kind of self-interest or self-seeking. And finally, never, never in a way of lording or ruling over what? The flock, but here the word is allotments. That means these are temporary assignment from the chief shepherd to the elder, to the elders. That these are not yours. The flock is not your property. The saints are not owned by you. They're owned by another, and that is God himself. You are just a steward, a temporary steward to shepherd that flock on God's behalf. So don't get it wrong. You have no right, you have no authority, you have no ownership. You're just a hireling. I shouldn't say a hireling. You're just a slave to shepherd them on God's behalf. And then, of course, here it says, how so? By becoming patterns to them. All right? So with those two passages behind us, let us get into the word this morning. Now, these three lessons today will not be happy words. All right? I can warn you already. In fact, these three lessons are all very, very necessary words, or healthy words, healthy teaching, containing righteousness. I would say what's contained in these three lessons are most essential to brothers who are elders, both to the old ones, the existing ones, the experienced ones, and also to the newly added ones, the learning ones among us. They are all given in the last stage of Brother Lee's ministry. That is in the 90s until his death. So these are words of experience from an old apostle who have gone through 60 years of the church life, beginning in mainland China, through Taiwan, through many years in the United States. And I tell you, I would almost consider these as condensation of his, or even crystallization of his instructions, of his exhortation to those who are in the lead. So I ask all of you to pay much attention today and have a ready heart to receive this, not for anybody else, but for yourself. These are words that if we take and internalize will save you from ruin, will preserve you and I from being possibly damaged, as it has occurred over and over and over again. In these past 90 years, some years of the Lord's recovery. So let us get into these outlines. This one, shall we read the title together? The Abuse of the Authority of the Elders and Dealing with Sinning Elders. The first part of this subject occupies 85% or 90% of this outline. The dealing with the sinning elders occupy only the last Roman numeral. So you can see where the weight is placed. All right? One, let's read together. According to the Lord's word in the Gospels and to Peter's words in his epistle, the Holy Word does not allow the elders to control at all. You will see this ugly word reappearing. The word control, this ugly C word, should be once and for all banished, cast out, trampled, and condemned by every one of us. I wish this word no longer exists in our dictionary. I wish this kind of thing would no longer exist in our church life. That is a brother controlling the saints, an elder controlling a church. Brother Lee have some very strong words on this matter, as we will see. The leading ones should not be rulers, but slaves, servants who serve and who do not control. We just came back from the Gold Coast. Jim was there. Who else? Okay. A few of us were there. I was given a assignment to speak on the church in Philadelphia. You know, the Church of Brotherly Love. And I made quite a plea to the brothers, if you were there remembering, of course, making the point that this name Philadelphia simply means to love a brother. In fact, you can even say to love a brother affectionately. That's the meaning of Philadelphia. How that the Lord hate and denounce any kind of thought of some among us who would call himself rabbi or teacher or putting himself above the other brothers. It is something that God hates. It is something that the Lord cannot tolerate. Rather, he said, you are all brothers. And as brothers, we should just have brotherly love. We're all in the same level. I told you how I was absolutely disgusted when certain well-meaning saints, but clearly untrained, who would just come and say, Elder Chen, you know, my last name is Chen. According to the Chinese, they always use the surname, Elder Chen. And just by virtue of their deferential attitude and gesture, it was made very, very clear that in their head, in their mind, in their concept, the whole thing is positional. Now, I do not condemn their respect, the sense of respect, and that's okay. That's right. In fact, it says you should obey those who take the lead among you, right? In Hebrews. That's okay. But this kind of understanding or sensation that you are up there so high, I'm just down here as a as I don't know what, as a believer, I tell you, this kind of positional concept is not only fostered by those who are quote-unquote in power, in authority, but oftentimes by those who are under. They actually help to build up that kind of, eventually, a kind of hierarchy. So I gave a message to condemn that. Since then, thank the Lord, people stopped calling me Elder Chen. I'm just your brother. Brothers, you are just brothers. You're not some elder so-and-so. You're not some leading brother so-and-so. To have that kind of a thought, to be conscious about that, is degradation. We follow the line of the brothers. This great movement that God has used in the early 18th century to bring his church back to orthodoxy, which is the subject of the Gold Coast Itinerary. And how can we go back to any kind of resemblance of that kind of a hierarchy where rank, position abound? We're all brothers. That doesn't mean there's no authority among us. No. That doesn't mean the Lord's kingship, the Lord's headship, is not among us. That does not mean there's no such thing as representative authority or deputy authority. Those things exist. And let them exist. But you and I should never be conscious of this position of an elder. You just serve. I just serve. With the spirit of a slave. That is one of our lessons, am I right? Last year, an early one. The spirit of a slave. So we're coming back to this again, towards the end of this training, in the form of the Lord's own words in Matthew 20. Whoever wants to become great among you shall be your servant, and whoever wants to be first among you shall be your slave. The Gentiles, their practice is that the rulers lord it over the people, the citizens, and they exercise deliberately authority over them. And some are willing to rule, and some are willing to be ruled. And then the Lord concluded, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. Brothers, shall we throw stones at this thing? I mean, throw stones at this kind of ruling, this kind of lording over, this kind of controlling the churches. Sometimes that control is not with a big stick. It is in the form of passive-aggressive. Do you understand that word? Passive-aggressive, you assume control. By being silent, you control. Some brothers, they don't say a word. By their not saying a word, everyone is afraid. Everyone is scared. Everyone walk on eggshells. And he's the greatest. Sorry, all this is not uncommon among us. Okay, let's go on. Let me read again. The leading ones should not be rulers, but slaves, servants who serve, just serve, and who do not control. You just serve. B, then Peter tells the elders not to lord it over the believers. We just read that. One, the church does not belong to the elders, but the church is God's flock. You've got to get this into you, brothers, once and for all. The church does not belong to me. All right? Let's say that. Let's just say that. The church does not belong to me or us, that group of elders. The church belongs to God. He is the owner, and we are part of the flock, by the way. We may be a shepherd, but we are shepherd in the form of a lead sheep, not as a replacement of God, but as one who take the lead by way of pattern. That's to lead. There is such a thing called leading brothers, leading ones. That's not ruling ones. That's not controlling ones. That's leading ones. That means you do it first. That's what it means. You do it first. It is God's flock. The church is God's. God's, my brothers. Two, an elder is a shepherd and a servant to take care of the owner's flock, and the owner is God himself. The church is called the church of God. It's never called the church of the elders. Three, Peter tells the elders not to lord it over the allotments. The churches are God's possession, allotted to the elders as their allotments, their portions, entrusted to them by God for their care. There is a kind of entrusting there. There is. There's a kind of assignment. There's a kind of putting something in your hand. There is that. But still, what is allotted to you is not yours. I say again, it is temporary assigned to you under your care. That's all. And we have to be accountable to the owner. To the chief shepherd. Four, the master has assigned the local church to the elders who should take care of the flock, not by ruling, but by serving as a slave, setting themselves up as living examples. So it is clear how to take care of the flock for sure, not by ruling over them, but by serving as a slave, setting themselves up as a living example. You know, under this kind of a standard, I think most of us would confess we have somewhat flunked or failed. I would say that. I would say that. Let's be examples, brothers. Let's forget about being somebody or you have attained to some position. You come with some right. Let's forget about that. Let's be an example and let's serve with humility. God's people, God's flock. See, according to the New Testament teaching, there's no rank and no position for the elders. No rank, no position. Even if you look for one, there's not one for you to look for. So this is why, brothers, it is so not easy to appoint elders, you see. Because once you do something like that, right away, both the saints and the elders themselves would just get into this kind of thought. Yesterday, he's just a brother. Today, he's an elder. Whoa. He got promoted. That's the immediate thought. Immediate thought. They will even treat you differently. Now, I say again, I'm not condemning a proper respect, a sense of obedience in a proper way. I'm not condemning that. That's the teaching. But I am saying this thought, this consciousness, we have to stand against it because it's so natural. There's also no controlling for the elders because they do not have any rank or any position. They do not have any right to control. Even you have no right. So if you do control, I would like to say you are abusing the eldership. You are actually abusing the eldership. The clear word of the New Testament does not allow or give any ground for the elders to take rank, position, or controlling power. There's no ground for that. To be an elder is a matter of function. There's a function there. There's a responsibility there. But there's no rank, and there's no position there. 2, let's read together. Spiritual authority does not mean anything official, but something in life. Some of us really need a total brainwash. Brainwash. People are just drawn to this idea of authority. You know the Roman Catholic Church? Papal authority. Big deal. You take away the papal authority, you basically take away the linchpin of that whole structure, that whole evil hierarchical structure of that system. Authority, woo, authority. I love authority. And then to make that authority into something official. You know, things have a way of becoming official. Even when it didn't start that way, after some years, it becomes official. You're just an elder. You've been around for 10, 20 years. You become official. No one said that. There's no commemoration of that. But you just become official. And you have departed from life. It is entirely a matter of life. And this is why we keep saying eldership is not permanent. But among us, it is practiced as a permanent thing. Why? Because still we are under the influence of the world of religion. This lifelong authority. Some who do not meet with us have greatly misused Brother Lee's book, Spiritual Authority. Now that is like, whoa, one of the hot bestsellers. You know, if you read Watchman Nee, you've got to read Spiritual Authority. They fail to see that without life, there's no real authority. That true authority issues from life. In the divine and mystical realm, life reigns. We call it the reigning of life. That's authority. But no, the human brain goes for the line of authority, the pecking order. Who's in control? Who's the boss? Don't you dare challenge my authority. B, Brother Nee does not merely use the word authority, but his term is spiritual authority. When we say the elders have authority, we must not forget that the authority is not official. Even if there's authority, it's not official. It can be removed. It can change. It's not part of a system. I was in teaching my middle-aged class yesterday, and the brothers asked me, can you say something about your relationship with Brother Lee, you know, how you coordinate with Brother Lee? I said, that's too much to say. Well, I said, I'll give you a little story. Just one little slice of experience. I said, Brother Lee, contrary to all the accusation lobbed, you know, upon him, that he's the king, he's the controller, I said, I could testify that is not true. Am I denying that there's no authority, that the Lord has spiritual authority that is the Lord has vested in Brother Lee? You'd be crazy. Of course there is. It's clear. Am I right? It's undeniable. But that is not from him claiming anything. Never. Not once. To this day, I have never heard Brother Lee said this privately nor publicly, that he is an apostle. That word. The A word. Never. Have you brothers heard it? But there's lots of self-appointed apostles running around, including some of his disciples. But Brother Lee never. He just, as his little card would say when he was in China in the 30s, he'd go around, he just printed his own little business card, Witness Lee, a slave of Christ. But we, no. I've seen some of these things that are so out there, just disgust me. Just disgusting. Just offensive to the Lord, I think. To his headship. For brothers to claim any kind of authority, especially an official one. When anything becomes official, it is no longer something of life. Since the authority is not official, there is no rank or position. I think that's logical. D, if there's no rank, no position, and no controlling power for the elders, no one should be ambitious to be an elder, as no one would be ambitious for slavery. It's kind of a lighthearted way that Brother Lee is speaking here to make the point. Who is ambitious to be a slave? Nobody. You'd be out of your mind to desire to be a slave. But you're ambitious to be some kind of leader, which really means you don't know what that leadership really means. That it is not authority, but it is slavery instead. I hope to see in the Northern California, we would have a new breed of leading brothers, very different than what we are used to. That will be a blessing to the churches. I even ask brothers who have been elders to reconsider yourself. I don't mean whether you should be or not an elder. That's not my question, my point. My point is the way you think about yourself, the way the saints think about you. One, it is not sufficient enough to tell people not to be ambitious. You know, just to say this doesn't work. We must see that the Holy Word takes away the rank. The Word, brothers. Let's come back to the Word of God. Philadelphia had a little power, but they kept the Word. So let's come back to the pure Word of God. That Word happens to take away the rank, the position, and controlling power of the elders. Then no one would be ambitious. If you see this, you're ambitious for zero. You're ambitious for nothing. Then you're wasting your time to be ambitious. My, if you come upon a situation, a churches in the Lord's recovery, where this is the prevalent reality, oh, I say, you would say, Philadelphia is in our midst. There are elders. There are leaders. There is the Lord's headship and throne. There is authority, very real. And everyone knows, but there's no sense of rank, position. Or a systematic order in an official way. Strictly speaking, there's no authority given to elders. I mean, now this is quite an astounding and extreme statement. Strictly speaking, there's no authority given to elders. First, the Lord Jesus charged us to be slaves, not to be masters or lords. The slave does not have any authority. Second, Peter, a fellow elder, charged the elders not to lord it over the flock, but to be an example to take care of God's flock. We must see that the flock of God is not a flock of cattle, but of men. So the shepherd can, should, and must be an example. You say, Minoru Chen, you are here. Down on, so much down on the eldership, then why are you having this training? We just all go home and be brothers. Stop this training. We're wasting time, you know. I'm not ambitious anymore, you know. I tell you, brothers, we need training to be the real elders. The real, genuine shepherds of God's flock. Without any kind of inkling of ambition or self-interest. Self-exaltation. That would be wonderful. The more training there is, the more humble you became, you become. The more you learn, the more you feel you are nothing. That's wonderful. Then this training is successful. You just serve. As the Lord did in John 13 when he rose up and took off his outer garments, which is just his virtuous expression in his perfect humanity. He laid that aside and girded himself and proceeded to wash the disciples' feet. And thereby setting an example to those disciples of what a leader should do. You know, we don't practice physical foot washing. But sometimes I did have the thought of practicing a little bit. Not in a for show, you know what I mean, for show. But with much prayer. To wash the saints' feet. To correct the impression. You know, I know the Pope does that too, you know. But he has 1,000 cameras, you know. Where no one knew. The Lord said, you should do this one to another. Am I right? I don't know, brothers, how the Lord would lead us. But the point is this. I hope, I really, really pray that the Lord knows how thankful I am for these 2 years of training. I told Alex, who picked me up yesterday, I said, I couldn't believe it's 2 years. And by December, we would have met in this noisy room. That's why we need a training center, not here. For 24 times. And the brothers are still here. At least most of them are still here. I said, that is not in itself. I said, Alex, that is quite a little accomplishment. Alex corrected me, say, that is a huge accomplishment. Just to come here, to sit here for 4 hours, 24 times in 2 years. And it's quite an accomplishment for me also to have given 72 lessons. I couldn't believe it. How was I sustained? What happened? Where did the words come from? So I worship the Lord. I thank the Lord. But if after these 2 years we still go back and make the same mistakes, then the training is, it's a waste. Then it's a waste. You go back and still control. You still do things in a natural way. Then we wasted the time. I pray for a total change that will affect the leadership in the churches in the coming years and decades. You will see. We have 3 lessons this morning. Okay, let's go on. Romans 3, let's read. The elders themselves... The elders themselves should not claim any obedience from the saints, even though in Hebrews it says, obey those who take the lead among you. But yes, that's the word to the saints. But you, the leading one, don't claim any obedience. Don't expect it. Don't demand it. That's ugly. I say even that's shameful. The saints will obey those who are worthy of obedience. Your claiming doesn't work. That means the elders have to check with themselves how much leading, real leading, they have rendered to the church. Brothers, you better do a little checking. This includes weak, young, and new ones. It's something that Brother Lee especially mentioned, these three categories. Weak, young, and new. You know, this is a good check. You go to a place and you find out how much the elders care for this category. The weak ones. Who got your attention? The strong ones? The rich ones? Or these needy ones? That's the Lord Jesus. That's what he did. A, we should re-examine the Bible to see if any verse indicates or even hints that the elders have been assigned with authority. No. B, Hebrews 13:17 says, obey the ones leading you and submit to them, for they watch over your souls as those who will give account, that they may do this with joy and not groaning, for this would be unprofitable to you. It is a word to the saints. This is a word to them. Submit to them, because they watch over you. But on our side, who are the leading ones, we should take it in a different way. Let's not pay attention to the matter of obedience, but let's pay attention to words like watch over the souls of the saints, giving account to the Lord, doing this with joy. Let that guide us, those words. One, we may ask, doesn't the word obey indicate that there's a kind of authority? This word, verse, however, tells us to obey the ones leading us, not ruling us. I like that. There's a difference. Not ruling us. Obey the ones leading you. We obey their leading, not their authority. There is a concept in people who study leadership, even in management, business management, and I sort of am happy with them, but it's called servant leader, right? There's a leadership theory called servant leader. Be a servant leader. I believe that is taken from the Bible, that concept. Three, if you are going to be an example, you must take the lead. In order to help the saints get into the Word of God, you must do it first. One of the points in being a servant leader is exactly this. You provide leadership by providing an example of yourself. So if you want to help the saints get into the Word, these days we're very much into that, you get into it first. Don't go, hey, read the Bible, read the life studies, and you don't read it. You just point the saints to the book room. That's not a leader. That's a controller. That's a ruler. They just give commands and tell people what to do, and they excuse themselves from the same. That's wrong. That's not a real leader. Do it first, brothers. It's better before we tell the saints to do something, check first. Am I doing it? If I'm not, I better wait to tell the saints until I'm doing it. Then you have the conscience to tell the saints. See, for an elder not to render much leading to help the saints, and yet to claim much obedience and submission from the saints is a shame, not a glory. You have not led the saints properly, but you claim obedience and submission. That's a shame. Let's read number 4. The elders should have no thought of securing their position. The elders should never consider that the church is under their hand to maintain their position. Okay? This word maintain. Maintain. B, in the church position is like the doves on the street. If you do not care for these doves, they may come to you. If you care for them and go after them, they will fly away. Position is just like this. If you like it, to get it, it flies away. And if you care for it, and if you do not care for it and care only for the Lord's interest, which includes the healthy condition of the church in which you are and the recovery of the Lord, your position is heavily secured. It's almost like Brother Lee now is saying, there is position, it seems. But I think you and I get the point, right? D, otherwise, no matter what way you try to secure your position, it will not work. You will only damage yourselves and damage others. One is to secure position, another is to maintain position. Don't think about that. Let's not chase them away. We just care for the Lord's interests, who are the Lord's saints. That's all we care for. Now, E is a very important point. Do not hold any work in your hand. Do not hold any church in your hand. Do not do anything to keep your position. I think this is worthy of a frameable quote, only sold to elders. Let's read that. Do not hold any work in your hand. Do not hold any church in your hand. Do not do anything to keep your position. Brothers, the brothers' fellowship, and we bring it up in the fellowship. And so now I'm here, right, in these few years to serve with the brothers, to take care of the Lord's work, and the church is here. But the Lord knows. If today the brothers say, Minoru Chen, go home. Thank you very much. Goodbye. I really can tell you I will have no feeling. I can tell you. I will just say, praise the Lord. That was a nice ride, Jim. These 3 years. It was wonderful. I learned a lot. It's an honor to serve with you. I really mean that. Then you say, now you go home. You have nothing to do now. You spend so much time here, now you have nothing to do. Don't worry, I have a lot to do. The work is not in anyone's hands. So I go to help this church, that church. There's no sense within, this is my church. I helped it, you know. They owe me one, you know. Now I have authority over them. Or even, I appointed you. You remember that? 2016, I appointed you. You owe me. I'm building up my political capital here, you know? I'm going to go after my payday. Brothers, no. All these things should be just banished. We just serve, and at the end of the day, we go to the Lord and say, Lord, I am an unprofitable servant. And this the Lord will say, do this, and then you go get some food. You know the parable. Brothers, why? I tell you, co-workers can claim a region as theirs, but even more easily, elders can claim a church to be theirs. More easy than a co-worker claiming a region. Because in a region, not all the churches will listen to you. But in a church, that's it. The saints are stuck with you. Okay, please read 5. The New Testament does not give the elders the authority in the sense of ruling, but there is still the sense of management. There is management. Manage your household well, otherwise how can you manage the church of God? But there's no sense of authority in a ruling manner. A, 1 Timothy indicates that the elder should manage God's house. B, no manager of a business is given the authority to rule the employees. But the manager surely has to manage the employees. In the sense of managing, we may consider that authority is given to the managing one. We may consider that. In the sense of leading the saints, there's some authority, to say absolutely none, is not quite right. In this sense, we can see that in a local church, there's God's arrangement to keep a local church in good order. Because without this, without the proper eldership, without these things, there's no proper order in the church. This is necessary. In this sense, the elders have some authority. But we must be clear about this one thing. No authority has been given to the elders to rule over others. This is wrong. Let's read number 6. Now, we come to the second part of this lesson on dealing with sinning elders. Still an important truth that should guide our practice in this matter. We need to see the charge Paul gave to Timothy concerning reproving a sinning elder. I don't have that much burden on this, but I'll just read through. 1 Timothy 5:19 says, against an elder do not receive an accusation except on the word of 2 or 3 witnesses. In this matter, we should pay attention to 2 points. First, there must be a written accusation. Words from the mouth do not count because many times words alone are groundless and can easily be denied or changed. Second, there must be 2 or 3 witnesses. The testimony of one is not reliable. In the Bible, 2 or 3 witnesses constitute the word of testimony. See, this is why I like 2 or 3, right? Even witnesses, you need 2 or 3. 3, the apostles and those whom they have specifically assigned should be responsible for handling such accusations. I think these are quite clear. B, verse 20 says, those who sin reprove before all, that the rest also may be in fear. 1, in verse 20, there are 3 points. Those who sin refers to the elders, all refers to the whole church, and the rest refers to the other elders. 2, Paul charged Timothy to reprove a sinning elder before the whole church. A sinning elder should receive public reproof because of his public position. 3, the public reproof is so that the rest of the elders also may be in fear. We have done this, even in the recovery. Some extremely serious situation pertaining to an elder who have fallen into sin, even gross sin, and that required discipline and removal. Unfortunately, we have to do this kind of thing when necessary. But thank the Lord, there's a provision here in Paul's teaching in how to conduct this matter properly, because it is exceedingly serious. Here I like the point. there are 3 points. Number one, those who sin refer to elders. All refer to the church, the whole church. And the rest refer to other elders. That means all receive something. All receive a certain kind of dealing and help in this exercise of reproving the sinning elder. I think this is good enough. My burden is really in the earlier part.